Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You hang up being there. But 51% of your prisoners will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Black won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourselves up. And I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry and put that pools in your money and hold that money and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor that is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, well, who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. And messed around, he saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you're having is When God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on pity way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it's on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad a cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit, and it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
That's the new girl. It's her first day. Some people say there'll be trouble. Some people saw trouble coming right from the start.
Morning, Dad.
Morning, Miss Wright.
Got a rush. Cat knocked over the alarm.
Careful on the turn.
Management begins at home. You're late.
Guilty, sir.
You'd better hurry. My coffee's probably getting cold.
No wonder I love to get up in the morning. I've got such a nice boss to look forward to. Incidentally, did you see the urgent note I left on your pad last night?
Top policy meeting at 9:15?
Yes. Mr. Dennis got back from Washington late yesterday, and he called the meeting after you'd gone.
Thanks. This must be the new government contract. Was there any explanation?
I tried to finesse some information from his secretary, Beth. But she's as informative as a quiz program.
Okay, I better get going. Have some hot coffee waiting for me.
Yes, sir. Good office management begins at home.
They'll quit. First one, then another. Whatever they do, they're going to make hell for that first Negro girl you put on the payroll.
Look, Mark, we're not walking into this blindfolded. Now, Todd doesn't pay me to manage personnel so that personnel can run the plant the way it wants.
What does that mean? That you're going to sit behind every secretary with a gun in her back?
It means we can put this new policy through without trouble. Now, of course, we'll have to move slowly at first, no matter how badly we need them.
Now you've said it. We need them, gentlemen. The Negro represents a labor force that hasn't even begun to be tapped. How about it, Kurt? Your department's been crying for help. Think we can make it work?
Maybe. Works in the shop. Negro and white hands work side by side. We don't have any trouble.
Well, how was it when you started?
Not bad. There was a lot of talk about trouble. But the union was on our side that time. They called a meeting, and by the time they were through, there wasn't any opposition.
Those were men, Kurt. They worked with their hands. How about women?
Women are different.
I think we're asking for trouble.
Just what is it we are afraid of? Bad publicity? Money? Or are we maybe raising problems to hide our own prejudices?
Look, Lyle, I don't think I'm a bigot.
Lyle didn't say that, Mark.
And I don't think I'm a man of prejudices. At least not any that I'd let interfere with profits. My department is sales. I'm mostly on the outside, and the man I sell the product to doesn't care what color the girl is who types up the bill. So because I'm on the outside, I get around. I hear stories.
What kind of stories? Strikes? Slowdowns?
Trouble, that's all. Let's call it morale. A lot of white girls just don't want to work next to a Negro girl, whether you like it or not.
Well, now I'll tell you something. I'm not running for election, and I'm not going to run scared. No 20-year-old stenographer is going to tell me how to run my business. I've just come back from Washington. I met there with the President's Committee on Government Contracts. Believe me, it was no tea party between me and the committee. They were talking business.
Since when is the President's Committee running Dennis Industries?
We're not talking just about Dennis Industries when we talk about this. We're talking national policy.
That's not new. We've had it ever since World War II.
Under the President's directive, no company can deal with the government. Can get a contract unless its policies are clearly non-discriminatory.
But don't we import Negroes on the production line?
That's not enough. As long as we set up a color line at the front door of the offices, or any line for that matter, we are discriminating.
Aren't we also responsible to the stockholders? We can't afford...
We can afford anything our competition can. If we can't, we don't belong in business. From this meeting on, our policy will be to hire every person we need strictly according to ability. If you want to set an example, put the first Negro secretary in my office.
Nope. Not on your life, Todd. And have 12 girls quit because we're giving away one of the most work-poor jobs in the organization? Now, that would be discrimination.
Just the same, I feel sorry for the first girl you hire. She'd better be strong.
You're right, Kirk. She's got to be handpicked. She's got to be so likable that any white girl with a chip on her shoulder will think twice before she starts any trouble. And so efficient that any man she works for will consider himself lucky. You know, I think the announcement of policy ought to come from your office, Todd, not just from personnel. We want every single person in this outfit to know that you're behind it, down to the last typist in the pool. Every girl working here should be made to feel that she's involved in putting through this new policy.
Right.
Is that it?
That's about it.
We gotta get going.
Well, I'll go over the new policy with you, but my office...
to do. They've got to live, too.
Who said they don't?
Oh, take it easy, you two. It hasn't even happened yet.
I tell you, I know it for a fact. I got it on the best authority.
Right from the horse's mouth.
Well, go ahead, laugh. Maybe you won't think it's so funny when one of them is sitting at the desk next to you, or at your desk, maybe.
That I wouldn't wish on anybody.
Ah, what's the joke?
Some joke.
The voice of doom here, spreading her usual morning cheer.
Yes, and this morning she's colorblind.
Very funny. She's got some very confidential information on the best authority.
I tell you, it's going to happen.
It sounds terrible.
It is.
Well, we're all going to lose our job. Not so loud. I happen to need my job.
Me, I'll quit first.
Well, what would we do without you?
Oh, probably invite my replacement down here.
Marge, what's she talking about?
Oh, you know Ella. She claims they're going to start hiring some Negro office help around here.
So what?
Well, if they do, I quit.
You're kidding.
Go ahead, Kit. You tell them. Me, they laugh at.
Kit, you don't mean that.
Yes, I do. You don't misunderstand me. I haven't got anything against them. Take Ned, the guard at the door, for instance. We're good friends, and I like him. But that doesn't mean that I want him or his sister working in the office with me. Girls, I don't bother them, and they don't bother me. That's the way I mean to keep it.
Where are you working now, Mary?
Lane's. At least I was this morning. I might not be this afternoon if I don't get back pretty soon.
Mr. Graham should be free in a minute. He told you what he wants to talk to you about?
All I know is he said, how would I really like to go to work? And could I drop around to the Urban League on my lunch hour? Have you any idea?
Put these books away, please, Miss Thompson. I'm sorry I kept you waiting. Won't you come inside? It'll only take a few minutes.
Good luck.
Thanks.
Has Miss Thompson been filling your head full of tall tales? Won't you have a seat, please? Cigarette? Let's see. You've been working in Lane since you got out of high school, right? And now you've graduated from secretarial school. Must be pretty rough working during the day and going to school at night, isn't it?
I think it was a little harder on my family than on me. They had to listen to my complaining.
Well, it looks like it might have been worthwhile. How would you like to go to work as a secretary at Dennis Industries?
You want the truth, don't you, Mr. Graham?
Oh, certainly.
I'd give an eye tooth to work as a secretary, but at Dennis Industries, I'm not so sure.
Oh, you're afraid maybe you're not quite good enough yet, huh?
No, that isn't the reason. I'm more afraid they wouldn't want me at Dennis.
Well, someone does. They called me. I didn't call them.
Mr. Graham, we're not talking about anything that's secret. They've never hired a Negro girl. Everyone knows that. It's not that they discriminate. It's just that they don't hire us.
Maybe things are changing, Mary.
Don't misunderstand. Oh, I'd love to work at Dennis. I do want a job as a secretary. And I could handle it.
I know you could. I've checked your records. You have every qualification you need. Now, let me bring you up to date. Last week, the personnel department of Dennis got in touch with every employment agency in town. It told them that beginning immediately, Negroes were to be hired on the Dennis office force.
Really?
Yes, really. They also called up the Urban League and asked us to help them over the hurdle.
Sounds as though they're serious.
They are serious. They've already started to map a long-term educational plan so that the schools around here will know exactly what kind of help they need. Well, they've approached every organization in town and asked for their assistance. This could be a tremendous step forward.
But what about me? Suppose I do go up for the job. Personnel department can't make people like me. They can't tell the other girls that, well, that...
That you're as good as they are? No, they can't. But they can give you every chance to show you are. Mary, right now they need us. And we certainly need them. If we don't take the chance when it comes along, it may not come along again. We have everything to gain. You have everything to gain.
And nothing to lose except a job. And about 10 feet of pride.
Funny thing, Mary. Once someone offers you a choice, you can't ever go back to the way it was before. If you don't try, when you go out of here, you'll find your pride has shrunk to 10 inches. If you do try, well, if you do try, you may have something to be really proud of. What do you say?
All right. I'll try.
Good girl.
Well, how's the crusade for freedom that Dennis Industries coming?
There's a girl coming over from the Urban League tomorrow morning. When she's through with personnel, I'd like you to have a talk with her.
Sure, I'll be glad to have a talk with her.
You know, talk isn't enough in a situation like this, Will.
You mean you people upstairs are really serious about this?
Let me point out one thing to you, Will. Dennis Industries does a lot of business with the government.
Fine, and we turn out a good product.
And the law says fair employment practice.
It never fails. Up on Cloud 19, the VIPs decide to work a miracle, and then the little wheels downstairs have to start grinding.
Are you against hiring Negroes?
That's not what I said, Lyle.
Oh? What did you say?
That I'm only an office manager. I can't make a hero out of Todd Dennis.
Nobody asked you to do that. All you have to do is to follow company policy.
And lose half the girls in the office while I'm doing it.
Have you lost any yet?
Not yet, but there's muttering.
Yeah.
I heard one of the girls say she'll quit as soon as we hire a Negro. For your information, she happens to be the most popular girl in the office. If she quits, it could start an exodus that would make the one out of Egypt look like a quiet Sunday afternoon.
If she decides to quit, I'd like to know immediately. Anyone else, for that matter?
Lyle, I tell you, it won't work. The girls won't stand for it.
Okay, Will, you tell me why.
Oh, come on, don't be naive. You know the reasons as well as I do.
Well, what?
The washrooms, for instance. You know what I mean.
Now, what do these same girls do when they go to the restaurants and the movies? Just supper?
So they have no choice.
Well, they won't have a choice here from now on. Now, look, Will, we've notified the unions and asked for their cooperation. No trouble there. Every department head has made it official all the way down the line. There's a memo out in black and white so that everybody can see it. And we agreed that the best way is to make a definite stand from the top down. Well, you'd think we're living in the dark ages. When are people going to realize that this is the 20th century in the United States of America?
With freedom and liberty for all.
Yeah, exactly.
That doesn't say anything about working where you don't want to.
Are you telling me you want to quit?
Well, I probably won't have to. My job will just disappear into thin air along with the rest of the staff.
You know, I don't understand you, Will. I've talked to every man in a responsible position here at Dennis. Most of them wonder what all the fuss is about. Few admit they don't like the idea of a Negro secretary, but they're willing to go along with the idea.
Well, go ahead. Try them.
But you keep on saying it won't work. I wonder if you know how you really feel.
Well, I'll tell you. You know those signs you put up in the plant, equal economic opportunity? Well, you can wallpaper the whole building with them, but you can't change the facts of life. I've got to get home. What time is it?
I don't know. Well, if this girl tomorrow morning passes all those tests, it's your job to place her in one of those openings you've been complaining about for so long. See you later.
We're very lucky to find someone with your qualifications, Miss Newton.
Thank you.
You passed those tests with flying colors.
Well, as a matter of fact, I thought I'd be too nervous to hold a pencil.
All that's left is the physical, just routine. I'll have my secretary fix an appointment with the medical office. Kit, would you just alert the medical office that Miss Newton will be down in about half an hour? And now you'd better meet the man you'll probably be working for.
Mr. Nelson, may I ask you a question? Would it be possible for me to have an assignment in the accounting department?
Why?
Well, to tell the truth, there's a girl in there from my class at high school. We're not friends exactly, but I thought it might make things...
Miss Newton, as a new employee at Dennis, I think you ought to know our rules. We don't give favors. We don't give preferential treatment.
I'm sorry. I just thought it would make...
We stick to our word. Every employee is treated solely on his merits. for better or for worse.
Oh, I see.
Now I'll take you down and introduce you to Mr. Harden.
As soon as I can. You have to wait. That's all I can say. All right, goodbye.
You the gentleman who's been complaining about the lack of office help?
You'll get someone to sit at that desk pretty soon. You'll have to dig me out from all this paperwork.
I have somebody for you right now.
You better have four hands.
She's 22, graduate from secretarial school, honor student, conscientious, loyal, eager to work.
Go on, I don't believe it.
She's outside. Would you like to meet her?
Sure, bring her in. And tell her to have her pencil sharpened so that we can get started.
Miss Mary Newton, Mr. Kurt Harden. I think you'll find your work cut out for you.
How do you do? How do you do?
You should have seen his face. He just looked at me like he couldn't believe it. Like he couldn't believe it.
What did he say?
He said, how do you do? He said it twice. And then he turned around and went back to his desk and said he'd see me tomorrow.
Well, what did the other guy do then?
Mr. Nelson?
Yeah.
He smiled like there was some sort of a joke. And then he took me down to the medical office.
Did anybody say anything about you being the first colored girl in the office?
They didn't have to. You could see it in their faces. The way the girl in Mr. Nelson's office looked at me.
Maybe you just imagined all of it.
Well, that's a crazy thing to say, Mama. Why should she imagine it? It's the truth. You just don't understand.
Yes, I understand. You may not think I understand, but I do. You think I can't understand because I'm your mother and I'm older, but I do. What you're going through isn't new. When I was a young girl, I had to leave high school to get a job. I would have given anything to work in a shop, but it just wasn't done where I lived. Nobody ever heard of a nigger working in a shop where white girls and white women came in to buy things. So I got a job cleaning house. And I cleaned house and cried at nights until I got married. Maybe my mother had something she wanted very bad and couldn't have and cried about all night. I don't know. But now I have you children. And I've watched you grow up and finish school. And now Mary's working in a shop and crying her eyes out because she can't work in an office. Well, maybe she can work in an office. And if she can, I don't want to see her throwing away the chance because she's afraid. Maybe those people hate her. Maybe some of them do. And maybe she's imagining a lot of it, dreaming up trouble to hide her fears. And if this is the way it is, then she's got to find out. And the only way to find out is to go to work tomorrow. Well, when she has her own kids, she's going to have to watch them get hurt and cry and be afraid. And she'll always wonder if she couldn't have suffered it for them and maybe made their lives a little easier. The way I sometimes wonder now.
Resigning.
Seriously?
Seriously.
Okay. I appreciate your getting here on time to tell me.
You know exactly why I'm quitting.
I think you may receive a personal invitation from Mr. Todd Dennis of Dennis Industries to present your case to him personally.
That it should come to this. Tell him I'd like to see her right away. Let's squash this. And get Lyle Ross on the phone. Oh, Beth. May I ask you a personal question?
Of course.
Where do you stand on all this? You've heard the policy discussion. How do you feel?
Well, honestly, Mr. Dennis, I wonder where everybody's been. I mean, doesn't anybody in this company read the newspapers or go to the movies? I think it's about time we woke up.
You can be a great help to us right now.
How?
By giving the new girl a chance. By making sure that she gets a chance.
You mean by being especially nice to her?
No, not especially nice. Just plain, ordinarily nice. Common, garden variety nice. You have a certain amount of prestige here. Use it.
Well, I wouldn't want the other girls to think I was doing it just because I was the
boss. Now, look. Don't you start being frightened, too. Think about it. It's not an order. Just a random comment on humanity. I'm sorry you want to leave, Miss Wright. Up to now, you've been an asset to the company.
I'm sorry, too, Mr. Dennis. Up to now, I've enjoyed working here.
I suppose you'll be looking for another job. In a plant that doesn't hire Negroes, of course.
In a plant that doesn't hire them to work in the office with me.
Well, that's going to be more and more difficult.
I think you understand my position.
I know your position. I don't understand it.
It's not difficult to explain.
I know. I've heard it all before. Surely you don't expect us to adjust our policies to meet your approval.
Frankly, I'd rather not work than to work under your new policy.
Rather not work? Well, you're lucky.
How do you mean?
Lucky you can afford that alternative. I can't afford it. Neither can most of the people working here.
Look, Mr. Dennis, I just don't understand why my leaving has suddenly taken on such importance. I wish I felt flattered by all the attention, but I'm afraid I don't.
Well, the fact is, your leaving the company is much more important than a personal matter for me or for you. I'm not going to even attempt to argue with your prejudices. I know that in a few minutes here, I can't change whatever has made you think the way you've been thinking for a lifetime. But if you don't mind, I'd like to put the shoe on the other foot. You're a popular girl here, probably with good reason. What you do, quitting that is, may set an example for a lot of other girls who can't afford your independence. I'm responsible for this company. That means I'm responsible to the stockholders, to the people working here, to myself, even to the whole country, indirectly. It's too late to crawl back into a shell.
I'm afraid I don't understand, Mr. Dennis.
Miss Wright.
What, Mr. Dennis?
I'm going to ask you to stay on here at Dennis, in spite of how you feel. To give this girl, to give yourself even a chance to find out if we're right.
You're putting me in a pretty tough spot, Mr. Dennis.
Well, it may not be as tough as you think.
You're making it awfully difficult to refuse. It would have been so much easier if you just bawled me out.
This is something that has to be handled reasonably. Will you give it a try?
I think it's only fair to warn you. I may do all the wrong things. You may be sorry if I stay.
Well, every day I'm in business, I'm taking chances. I'm willing to take this one.
I'll think about it, Mr. Dennis. I will say this, though. It's the first time I've stopped to think about it at all.
Thank you.
I'm Miss Merrill.
Mary Lou.
Hello, Mary. The secretary is usually over here. Won't you join us? I'll give you a hand. Everybody, this is Mary Lou. Joan. Merrill. And Kit Wright.
There was no mass walkout. No one quit. A few girls even tried to help out. Resentment turned to curiosity. Then curiosity became interest. In time, Mary was no longer the new girl. And new girls no longer meant trouble. So we all settled down again to the difficult business of making a living.
From a short film, the audio from a short film titled The New Girl, which starred Gail Fisher. And from some of you people that might remember it from back in the day, the TV show Mannix, Gail Fisher played the role of Mannix's secretary, Peggy Fair. And that was a significant role, particularly for black folk during, this is back, what, early 70s, late 60s, early 70s, somewhere around there. Because she was one of the first, she was a pioneer, one of the first, not the first, but particularly black female, who had a I guess, co-starring role on a mainstream television program. Manic used to come on Sunday nights, at least in my neck of woods in D.C. She did some other pioneering things as well. But anyway, Gail Fisher, you can read about her online, and you look up, you probably have some episodes of Manix on YouTube. But the film, the short film, The Girl, The New Girl, you can watch it. It's a black and white type thing on YouTube for absolutely free. Anyway, so what does The New Girl, which was a story, because you heard the audio. It was, the big deal of it was, she was a black person, particularly black female, and she was going to be the new girl, the new employee, but not just your ordinary new girl, particularly from that time period, not in 2023, but in that time period, it was a significant move because she would have been the first black to work for that company. So anyway, that's what the film was about. Now, what does that have to do with our title for today? Our title for today is USA Chessboard 40,953. USA Chess Geography, that's what we're talking about, USA. And we're not talking about this. We use the chessboard as an analogy to give the landscape of the United States. Now, let me draw it out this way. Now, you've often heard me say, the regular listeners, that statistically, there are 19,500 communities in the United States that have municipal charters. They have municipal corporate charters, and some of these towns can have a population as little as one person on up to 9 million, like New York City. All right. On Monday, we had Pastor Roland Slade from Meridian Southern Baptist Church Meridian Church, which is a Southern Baptist church located in El Cajon, California. And El Cajon is like the two out of the 19,500 municipalities in the United States. El Cajon is like the 267th largest city in the United States. It has like 106,000 people. Okay. Now, today we're gonna broaden, because I want people to get a look at the landscape here in the United States, like say in the analogy of a chessboard, and then we'll bring in this why I played the whole thing on the new girl. Let me look at my program notes here. Okay, hold on. Make sure my mic is open. All right, my mic's open. Okay. Now, once again, there are 19,500 incorporated communities in the United States, better known as towns and cities, and for the most part. Now, in the United States, matter of fact, let me put this stat out there. There are 21,453 unincorporated communities in the United States. So there are more unincorporated communities around the United States than there are incorporated. Once again, there are 21,453 unincorporated communities in the United States. Now, let me give you the distinction between, what's the difference between an incorporated town versus an unincorporated town? Well, Once again, an incorporated town has a municipal charter. And with the municipal charter, there are typically municipal services offered. Like, in most cases, not in all cases, but in most cases, they have a police department to provide service and you know, protection as necessary to the citizens of that particular community. They typically have a municipal fire department. Now, this is all paid for from the citizens who live there. When you pay your taxes, that's what you're paying for. These are some of the services and municipality that you're paying for. You got a police department, you're paying for that. Fire department, you're paying for that. Okay. Social services program. You know, food stamps, WIC or whatever, social services, they have that there. These are some of the services that are offered by a municipality. Now, your smaller municipalities that might have 1, 2, or even 300 people, all right, their tax base might not be large enough to offer those services. But by their corporate or their municipal charter, when their tax base grows large enough, they can offer those services to that particular community. All right? Now, in an unincorporated, trash pickup, that's another service. Recycling, that's another service. And the more services that that particular municipality offers, okay, it's reflected in your local tax bill. And particularly, you know, as, you know, because they have to maintain the streets, the alleys, and whatever else municipal services that they offer, you know, they got to make a payroll. You know, they have to, you know, fund, you know, the pensions of government employees that work for that municipality, that all is funded primarily through the tax base revenue and other streams of income that they might, that particular municipality has. Now, an unincorporated area, all right, doesn't offer you those services, those municipal services. They don't have a municipal charter to start. They might not have a police department. Well, probably they won't have a police department because they can police themselves. Or sometimes they might have a relationship with an outside, a neighboring municipality, and they might service it that way. But they have typically no police department. They might have a volunteer fire department that is made up of local people that live in that particular community. Now, due to the fact that that particular unincorporated community is not offering municipal services, all right, the cost of living is oftentimes less expensive in those unincorporated communities because they don't have to worry about a police department they got to fund, you know, with employees and dues and unions and all expenses, you know, equipment and automobiles and all that. They don't have to worry about that. Okay. So there is some benefit in that. Some people, you know, in a municipality, you know, they might have a hospital. Whereas in an unincorporated community, more than likely there's not a hospital. They might have a clinic, though, that's within the town. That's privately run, or that's how that operates. So once again, there are 19,500 municipalities in the United States, and there are more unincorporated communities in the United States, 21,453. Many of those unincorporated communities are not as large as some of your a lot of towns that have a municipal trail, like in New York, L.A., Los Angeles, San Diego. But they do have some larger ones, but not nearly as big as a lot of your major municipalities. Now, in the United States, 48% of the communities in the United States, now, 48%, that's 9,000, actually, I might have this figure wrong. And let me, yeah, me know what, Matt, you know what, let I got to adjust this figure. All right, 48% of the communities in the United States have a population of 5,000 people or less. Now, here's where I got to do my correction. All right, we got 19,500 cities that are municipalities, and then we have 21,453. Okay, so we got a total of 40,953 and counting, but 40,953 communities in the United States. 48% of that is 48% of that puts you around 18,000 or so, 19,000 or so, or towns that have a population of 5,000 people or less. All right. So there are plenty of places in the United States where, I mean, there's only 365 days in a year. And it's humanly impossible to visit every single town in this country. I'm just saying. All right, now, when it comes, and the reason why I played the audio this morning from The New Girl and whatnot is because it the time period that it took place is because you had people that were applying for jobs. Well, first thing, through the Great Migration, blacks moving from some of the southern states into the northern states, and they were moving to areas where, they were seeking employment, and then through the marching and the protesting and, the legislation and all that, they were applying for jobs, and then, you got affirmative action and this or the other, and then, of course, you had some people saying, well, they promised us 40 acres and the mule, and we didn't get it, or, we want reparations, and you got people that are marching and protesting for that now. People talk about, redlining and discriminatory practices and all that. Well, that's why I say let's bring out the chessboard of the United States. And I put those numbers out there, which hopefully I can make my point. It's not so much my point, but so you can get a clear look at the landscape of the United States and the vast opportunities that are there for anyone, regardless of race, color, religion, creed, what have you. Now, there are over 40,000, when we take the unincorporated towns in this country, which is over 21,000, and add them along with the incorporated municipal communities in the United States, which is over 19,000, you got over 40,000 total. Now, out of that figure of, I'm just going to round this down, 40,000, 85% of that number, out of 40,000 people, 34,000 people, excuse me, not people, but out of the figure of 40,000 communities in the United States, 85% of those communities, okay, contain 86% of the population of the United States. 86% of the population in the United States live in 34,000. Oh, let me adjust my time here. Let me go back to my... where is it? Here it is. 86% live, 86% of the population lives, let me put it this way. Those 34,000 towns, all right, hold on, I'm extending my time. All right, there we go. Eighty-six percent of the population lives in, put it this way, 86% of the population lives in towns, in over, like, about 34,000 towns out of the 40,000 towns. They occupy only 3% of the total available land mass in the United States. That's a whole lot of people in a whole bunch of towns that are in a concentrated, very concentrated fraction of the United States. That's 3% of the total land mass. All right? And I say we don't have a discrimination problem in the United States. We don't have a redlining problem in the United States. We don't have a racial problem in the United States. Now, it might look like those things, like in some cases it might look discriminatory, and it might look, what we have is, and we don't even have a new girl problem in the United States. See, we have been, in my opinion, because we don't know the geographical landscape. When you have over 30,000 towns, now you only got 40,000 total. When you have over 34,000 towns crammed in only 3% of the available land mass, towns that have a population of 9 million people, New York City, 2 million people, Los Angeles, California, 3 million people. When you have towns of that size, and, of course, much smaller ones, when you have 34,000 towns occupying only 3% of the land mass, it's not discrimination. Now, that's not the problem. It's not racism. That's not the problem. Now, all those things sound good, and they sell newspapers and advertising, and it keeps people emotionally engaged. What you have, more accurately, is a situation of competition. Sure, I mean, it's supply and demand, economics 101. I'll give an example. I have a house in Washington, D.C. And behind my house is a plot of land that belongs to the city government for a school. And the lot size is 5 acres. The property taxes on my little city house there is like over $5,000 a year. All right. Now, I have a 10-acre plot of land in Texas. 10 acres, twice the size of the school right behind my house in D.C. And my property taxes on the 10 acres is less than $150 for the whole year. Less than $50. And that's if I pay my property taxes late, which I did last year, I paid less than $40 being late for the whole year on 10 acres of land. Why? There's 1,700 people that live in the town that my 10 acres is attached to. There's no bus service. There's no police service. You know, there's no fire department. The nearest Walmart is 2.5-3 hours away. Less competition. I can build whatever I want to without pulling a building permit because the local government in this particular county, no building, they're not set up, their government's not set up that way. However, in Washington, D.C., which you have a whole bunch of people crowded into like 10 square miles, over 600,000 people, and over 700,000 or 800,000 people who don't even live in the city come to work in the city. That's crazy, ain't it? More people work in D.C. than actually live in D.C. So it's going to be more competitive for housing, supply and demand. Okay. If you want to really live in the city, here's the price you pay. If you can't afford to live in the city, but you work in the city, then you're going to have to live, you know, either rent a room or commute an hour, 2 hours. There are people that live in Boston that fly to D.C. every day, Monday, to go to work. New York City. Reagan National Airport, there are people that Monday through Friday, they take the shuttle in. They can't afford to live in D.C., so they fly into D.C., go to work in D.C., go back home. From the south, you got people from Richmond, Virginia. That's 90 miles away. They take the train into D.C., go to work, take the train back home. They have a MARC train also. You know, that goes in different directions. Supply and demand. So it's not a matter of, like, say, it, you know, because people who don't realize it's competitive, they don't know what the landscape looks like, they'll have a tendency to say, well, they're discriminating, they're prejudiced, they don't like black people, they don't like this, that, that. It's competition. Even when it comes to crime, if you look at the high profile, crimes that happen in this country, look at the rank of those cities. Take a look at the first thing: how many of those homicides, those high Trayvon Martin, Mike Brown, and Ferguson, George Floyd up in Minnesota, Eric Garner up in New York. Look at, matter of fact, it's not a big city, but it's in the St. Louis metro area. Let's take a look at, let's go to Ferguson, Missouri. You know, because that's smaller than, it's not a St. Louis. It's not Orlando where Trayvon Martin was. Ferguson, Missouri. Okay. Ferguson, Missouri. All right. Ferguson, Missouri is it's a small town of 18,527. Okay. And however, now does it come under the, let me see, geography? Does it come, is it in the, all right, it's got a population of 18,570, but let me look at this. Ferguson, Missouri. To St. Louis, Missouri. All right, I would say that's part of the St. Louis metro area because it's it's 12 miles away between St. Louis and Ferguson, which is a 19-minute drive, 19 to 20, well, depending on which way you go, anywhere from 19 minutes the 24 minutes to 28 minutes, depending on which way you go. But it's 12 hours difference. I mean, not 12 hours. It's 12 hours between St. Louis and Ferguson, according to what I'm reading here online. Oh, excuse me. Correction. Ferguson is 9.91 miles. It's 9 miles away from Ferguson. To St. Louis from the southeast direction. All right. Depending on how you go, it's anywhere from 9 miles to 12 miles, depending on which route that you take. Okay. And it could be an 18 to 19 minute drive. So it's in that metro area. But the majority of high profile in St. Louis, okay, St. Louis is probably, all right, St. Louis, Missouri metro area. Let's look at that metro area, St. Louis, Missouri. No, Missouri metro area. Okay, let's take a look at that. St. Louis metro area. And then St. Louis metro area, which Ferguson is part of that, is over 8 million people. And it is ranked the 70th largest metro area in the United States. Not 7th, but 70th metro area. Urban density, they got it ranked at number 21. All right, they got all these different categories. All right, so, all right, population, all right, let me correct this. It's ranked St. Louis metro area, the 70th. As far as population, is 70th largest in the United States. As far as metro area, it is the 21st largest metro area in the United States. All right. So a lot of these high-profile homicides of black men by the police have happened in a lot of your more densely populated areas of the United States. And once again, So like cabin fever, it's, once again, I say it's competition, not discrimination. So what a lot of people are calling discrimination in its various forms is really competition, because once you step outside of those, like I said, a lot of towns, once you step outside of that very densely packed 3% of the United States, where 86% of the population lives, once you step outside of that, on the 93%, where you still have hundreds, not, as a matter of fact, thousands of towns of communities available. Now, a lot of them are going to be emphasized, 5,000 people less. Ferguson is small, that's 18,000. But if you find places, there are plenty of them, they have a population of 5,000 people less, that's where you'll find your 40 acres and a mule. And you don't have to go to the government to get it. That's where you can get your reparations all day long in the communities that have 5,000 people or less. In your places of 5,000 people or less, where you have little, and or in many cases, zero competition, who cares who the new person is, who the new girl is, who the new guy is, okay? Matter of fact, people are starting, there's anywhere from 3 to 7 new towns that are forming in the United States on like maybe a weekly basis. We featured one of them on here about 4 months ago now. You know, 3 black women out of Metro Atlanta said, you know what, we can't solve Atlanta's problems, but you know what, let's go 2 hours away from Atlanta and start our own new town. Freedom, Georgia. You can look them up online, the Freedom Georgia Initiative, or go to their new YouTube channel. And, you know, and they're in the community that they're developing, and they started with 19 families, 19 black families. They don't have any competition. There's no discrimination there. There's no redlining there. There's no police there. Now, eventually, they want to, I mean, from the interview I did with them, they want to, you know, have their own mayor, city council, and their own police department and set their own municipal charter and all that. That's what they want to do. Okay. But they're not going to be in any competition with anybody. They don't need to march in protest. I interviewed them for like an hour and a half, 90 minutes. You didn't hear not one gripe or complaint. You didn't hear them beg about nothing. You didn't hear them blaming anybody. They didn't talk about the white man's keeping me down. 3 black women now. They decided to start their own town. In the United States, and these places, and there are thousands of them here in the United States. Freedom Georgia Initiative, they don't need Al Sharpton. They don't need Jesse Jackson. They don't need a Martin Luther King. They don't need a Malcolm X. They're doing it for self. They are living and demonstrating the American dream because they went to a place where there's zero, in their case, zero competition. However, in Atlanta, due to the fact that you got a whole bunch of people in a little amount of space, there is competition. Some of those people that don't realize competition or they don't like competition, then they put labels on it like it's discrimination and it's redlining and, you know, why don't they like, you know, you're trying to get people to like you and all this stuff. No, no. There are plenty of places that, and you don't have to start a town, but there are plenty of places in the United States of America where you can go to a place where you can fit right in with no competition. You don't have to start a town. There are plenty of them that would be glad to have you. So you don't have to worry about being the new person on the job or the new person in the neighborhood. So if you don't like where you're at right now, if it's too expensive for you, if you don't like the neighbors or whatever, man, like I say, there are over 40,000, and let me, you know, they're over, over my notes again. Once again, there are 40,000, excuse me, there are 21,453 unincorporated towns in the United States. And then 19,500 incorporated. Grand total, there are 40,953 communities in the United States in which you can live. The unincorporated ones, and like I say, now they do have some incorporated ones, because there are quite a few that I've stepped foot in. And like Taft, Oklahoma that's a municipality. But Taft has got less than 400 people. You don't really have any competition in Taft. You can open up a business, build a house. You know, they're welcoming, good people, quiet. You know, if you need to, it's rural. You know, if you need to go to a Walmart or something like that, they don't have a Walmart or McDonald's or nothing like that in Taft. But a 15 to 20 minute drive, you got all that in Muskogee. Like to go gambling? Well, Muskogee's got a casino there too, if that's your thing. You know, now, since I'm talking about, I done bought up Oklahoma town, a couple of Oklahoma towns, let's go back to 1921 with the Tulsa race riot. Was it a race riot? Because that's the way it's been labeled historically. A race riot. Or was it a competition riot? Now, in 1921, when that did happen, the Tulsa race riot, as it's been labeled, O.W. Gurley built, he bought 40 acres in the city or municipality of Tulsa, Oklahoma. And they did have eventually, not immediately, I think there's only one standing building left from that era. And they're asking for reparations of some type. What's interesting, at the same time that went down, there were 50 black municipalities in the same state of Oklahoma, 50 of them. And there were probably as many unincorporated towns in the state of Oklahoma, too. So let's put it at, there were at least 100 communities, 50 of them had municipal charters at that time. And none of them experienced riots or racial violence. I've been to three of them. Taft, Tallahassee, which is the oldest black township in Oklahoma. Oh, I've been to four of them, excuse me. Taft has a municipal charter. Tallahassee has a municipal charter. Summit, Oklahoma has a municipal charter. And the fourth place I've been to in Oklahoma, which is a historic black community, but it's unincorporated, is, and I've looked on it, and I haven't been able to find anything on it, but I've been there five or six times myself because it's sandwiched right next door to Taft, is Blackjack, Oklahoma. But it's unincorporated. Some things you just got to, you're not going to find online, but it's alive and real. You got people living there. They got houses and their own graveyard. And I think, what's her name? Sarah Rector is buried there, who at one time was the wealthiest black female, at least in the United States. Got, church there as well. So none of those black townships, historical black communities experienced, and what's the difference was? All those towns that never have experienced racial violence in Oklahoma, they set up shop. They built their communities in areas where there was no competition. That's the common denominator. If you don't know the landscape, and see, it's good to know the landscape from the beginning before you do anything. So was the Tulsa race riots really a result of racism? Or, cause, I mean, that's the worst set that we painted on it. Or was it a thing? O.W. Gurley, he built on the competition, within the competition, because he could have bought 40 acres outside of the city of Tulsa, Oklahoma, like the 100 other black communities did, and still be existing to this day. And since we talk about tiny houses on here a lot, look for the areas that are tiny house friendly. The smaller the population, the easier it will be. Now, I guess that we had on Monday, Pastor Roland Slade, they've had success in El Cajon, California. El Cajon has a population of 106,000 people, all right? So 106,000 people is not like Los Angeles or San Diego, where you've got a million or more people. All right, for me personally, I would say I look for places that have 1,000 people or less, because there's a lot of towns like that too. But in any event, that's my take on, once again, is it competition or is it discrimination? If you go to a place where there's not that many people, when you increase your odds of success when you have little, in some cases, no people. Now, in some places where there's few people, all right, now you're going to, it's not a cakewalk because you have a low amount of people. You also need to develop some social capital. When you go to these small places, one of the first things you're going to need to do, but it'll be easier to do it because there's less people that you had to go through, is you're going to have to develop some social capital. You need to develop that social capital going in. And you're going to, I suggest you be proactive. If you want good neighbors, what I would suggest is you be proactive and you be a good neighbor first. Introduce yourself. Now, in some places where you get a vibe, you know what, this is not going to work with me and my personality or whatever I'm trying to do, there's over, once again, there's over 40,000 places that you can move around here in the United States of America. Over 40,000 of them. With new ones popping up every week. Oh, let's just take a look at it. 40,000 towns, they're 365 days in a year. It's physically impossible for you to get around to 109 towns a day, let alone 109 towns in a month. So for some of you that, you know, when I'm going to move to Africa or move to Brazil, no, you see what's happening around here. People who have gone to, moved out of the country, thinking that they're going to find their promised land, and then they come back disappointed because you're going to the wrong places. Life is a chessboard. The first step to winning in chess or becoming a master at the game or grandmaster of the game of chess, the very first aspect of the game that you must master, and this is a reflection of how life really works too, is you know the landscape, know the board. Okay. I'm doing things here in Florida, in Oklahoma, in Texas, that I can't do in Washington, D.C. Where I have a house, there's certain things I just cannot economically or politically do. Why? Because the chessboard is very crowded in D.C. I'm not trying to get anything in New York City because the chessboard is very crowded in New York City. I'd rather go, matter of fact, Nome, Alaska. What's the population of Nome, Alaska? Okay, wait, let me see. Nome, Alaska, we haven't heard about nobody getting shut up in Nome, no black person getting arrested in Nome, Alaska. Okay, Nome. And you know what? I don't mind cold weather. That's just me. Alaska, N-O-M-E. Nome, Alaska has a population of 3,699 people. Now, there are towns in Alaska that, matter of fact, let me look at it this way. Towns in Alaska by population. Okay, cities in the Alaska cities by population. Let's see. The largest, most populated city in Alaska is Anchorage, which is 292,545 people. Next after this is Fairbanks with 33,000. Juneau has 32,000. Okay, Alaska has... ...332 towns. Okay, Bettles is the least populated town, at least municipal town, in Alaska. Two people. I'd rather go to Bettles, Alaska. I'll get me 40 acres there. Real easy. Then to try to get anything in New York City, which you'll get a closet. Or Birch Creek, Alaska, which is the 328th town, largest town in Alaska. Three people. Now, let's say you want more people. You know, Circle, Alaska, which is ranked number 302nd largest, it's largest town. Like, so you only got, Alaska only has 332 towns. Chicken, Alaska, chicken, literally. 319 largest town in Alaska. They have 12 people. All right, so, Alaska's got a whole bunch of towns that, Alaska got a whole bunch of towns that don't even have 100 people in it. Primrose, Alaska has 99 people. So, all right, so some of you, I don't want to go to no place cold like Alaska. Look, whatever you're in, look at the, look at towns by population in that particular state. And then go with that. Okay, now I'm in Florida. All right, towns in Florida by population. And I've got 4 acres in a town, but a town so small, I mean, it's a census designated area. They don't even have a population for it. But anyway, towns in Florida. Because I'm running low on my battery here. In Florida, by population. Okay, here we go. Jacksonville is the largest one in Florida, 937,690. Miami cuts that in half, is 440,807. And then, let me go, how many towns are there in Florida? I think they're just listing the municipal ones. Jesus, they got a lot here in Florida. Ugh, okay. There are 950 towns in the state of Florida within 67 counties. The smallest one is Lake Buena Vista, Florida. Okay. And hold it. Let's look up now. At 949, there's Lazy Lake, Florida. So let's look up Lazy Lake, Florida. Lazy Lake, Florida has 35 people. And Lazy Lake, Florida, the landmass of Lazy Lake, Florida, with 35 citizens, they have a mayor there, which means they have a municipal charter. It's just 13 acres. So, you know, why in the, I feel like cussing, but I'm not. Why in the Hades am I going to march and protest over whatever happens in Miami, Orlando, or Jacksonville? I stop my own damn town, and I'm not waiting on the government to give me. I don't want shit from the government. As James Brown says, I don't want nobody to give me nothing. Open up the door, I get it myself. And the door's open. Now, hold on, let me find my way to my studio. So, hold on, let me... Okay. So, you people out there that feel you've been slighted, and maybe you have, start looking in the right places. Start looking in the right places. Start looking in the real United States of America. And there's a lot of territory out there that you can look at. Okay. All right, did I run out of time? Oh, let me try something here. If it'll let me do it. No, I think I ran out of time. All right, so. All right, well. We're going to revisit this at another time. Oh, going. Okay, I think. Well, anyway, that's my rant for today. okay, well, that's all. See you guys tomorrow.